Today, as you know, is the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary. Huh? And because of this, I feel it is incumbent upon me to say something to you about this feast, its importance, its beauty, maybe something of its power. Just for a little bit, huh? The name Rosary comes from a legend. How true it is, we don't know, but it's a beautiful story in any case. And this legend is this, that many centuries ago, there was a monk who was nameless. And this monk was praying the Holy Rosary. He did not call it that. It wasn't called anything by then. It was just a series of Ave Marias, Hail Marys. By then it had ceased becoming a series of Our Fathers, which was its original form. 50 Our Fathers, or 150, as you know, for 150 Psalms. It was a way in which the monks who had to work all the time, see, in the monasteries, were able to participate in the Psalms that the choir monks prayed throughout the week. 150 Psalms, 150 Our Fathers. You see, that's what it worked. Then eventually became acts of praise of the Blessed Virgin. The original Hail Mary, as you may remember, I told you, was not the second part. It was just the combination of the two verses of the Visitation and the Annunciation. It's always been united. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Later on, Jesus came in, and then the rest of the prayer as you know it. The Hail Mary is a relatively recent development. If people want to know why we repeat them, it's because, you see, it is nothing but a series of praises, like it's been compared to the 21-gun salute. You praise over and over again, you see, as we do for the heroes of our country, see, 21 guns, three volleys, or seven volleys, three times. As this monk was praying the Hail Marys, so the story goes, the Blessed Virgin came to him, and with each Hail Mary that he prayed, from his lips a rose fell. And the Virgin, you see, picked up these roses and weaved a crown, and she placed the crown on her head. And it became known then as a garland of roses, and that's the name Rosarium, or the Rosary. That's the story. It was so popular that we tend to believe it's true because it spread everywhere and it was believed by everybody. Nobody questioned it. And it's that old. And that to this day, that's what these prayers are called, the Holy Garland of Roses, that the Virgin Mary placed on her head as a sign of a tribute that was given by this unknown monk, see, in honor of the Virgin Mary as he prayed to our Lord and Savior. Now, before I go on any further, I should probably tell you this. Perhaps you might like to pay attention to the chalice that I am using at Mass this morning, because on this chalice, in little silver miniatures, engravings, you see, 15 of them, there's the whole story of the Rosary depicted on this chalice. And what is special about it, so it appears to us, is that it was a gift of the Holy Mother of God to us. And I'll tell you briefly the story. This was years ago, quite a few in fact, and I remember it was a weekday in the morning, and I was teaching theology. And while I was teaching, our doorbell rang, see, and there was at the door an old couple who did not know us and did not come to Mass here. But nevertheless, they came to the door. And they had in their hand, see, a felt sack. And in this sack was this chalice. And they told me, when I greeted them, that they knew this priest, now old and had died, and bequeathed to them this chalice, dedicated to the Virgin Mary under the title of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. And while they did not come to Mass here, they knew of us. How, I don't know, but they knew about us. And they were inspired, if you can put it that way, not to give it to anybody else, any parish here, but to come to us. And they gave it to us, knowing that we would take care of it and use it. It was in very bad condition. It was all tarnished. It was sterling, all sterling, but very badly tarnished, and looked very old. And what we did in this very precious gift of the Virgin was we sent it away to have it restored. And we did. And it came back in this beautiful condition. And we have used it ever since. I'd like to think of this and another very, very old and precious priestly preaching stole that we have as two items that belong not to us, but to the Blessed Virgin herself. We are merely their custodians. And we are using this chalice this morning in honor of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. It's not a very big chalice, but very exquisite, very beautiful. And one of our prized possessions of all the chalices that we have here in the house, this is one of our most valued, because it came, so it appears, from the Virgin Mary. The other thing I want you to know is something about me, to tell you something of the Holy Rosary. And that is this. I had wanted to be a priest since I was 9 years old, approximately. I'm one of those, what they used to call many years ago, career boys. That's what they used to call us people. Most people find their vocations much older. I was one of those rare people. And while my spiritual life was as shallow as any boy in grammar school, you see, went to Catholic school, so on, did my lessons and whatnot, classes. I was, however, a very, very big bike rider. I wrecked my bicycle everywhere. And while we lived on the camp, Fort Dix in New Jersey, I used to ride around all those places that we were allowed to go, the army dependents. And so I did. So I rode all around this place and these places. And there were a number of chapels on the grounds, some Protestant, some Catholic. I don't know if there were any Jewish temples. In any case, I rode by the chapel that we used to go to as a family. Chapel number 9, that's what it was called. No saint, chapel number 9. And when I rode by this place, and I was about, either 7th or 8th grade, I received this impulse, this desire. I don't know where it came from, I don't know why it happened, but I did. To stop and go inside. And since all Catholics in my youth, always carried the rosary. That was a mark of being a Catholic. You had the rosary in your pocket. Get the protection of the Blessed Mother. I went into this chapel, and for the first time ever on my own, I prayed the Holy Rosary, following this strange, unexpected impulse. I prayed the rosary for the first time. And I can tell you afterwards, before the Blessed Sacrament, by myself, in an empty chapel, smaller than this one, I can tell you for the first time, I really felt good. I felt, as if I was close to God by this prayer. And that was the end of it. That was my first invitation. And then I resumed my normal boyhood life with all the things you know boys do, good and some not so good, you see, until I entered the minor seminary. And that's when my career in the academic life began, seriously. I was, I think it was about second year of high school. And I remember at night when I'd say my night prayers, I remember receiving this need to start praying the Holy Rosary often, daily. And I made a promise. And the promise was that I would pray this prayer every day. Every day. Since about 16 or thereabouts. And I have kept that promise to this very day. Praying the Holy Rosary. Brethren, let me assure you, because I have been in the world of academe all my youth, from the college years in the seminary to philosophy to the years of theology, graduate work, and so on and so forth. I have been my whole life in the academic world. And I assure you, it is this one prayer, more than any other, that saved me. Not from immorality or from sensuality of any kind, no, but from something far worse than that. Especially in that world, intellectual pride, arrogance, self-complacency, the worst form of condescension. That prayer saved me. And I can tell you that even though I learned a great deal from theology manuals and lectures, sometimes almost impossible to understand, that makes a young person feel he is far above the rest of men in his mind, in his will, in his attitude. Whatever penetration I was given into these truths that are the object of so much theological investigation and speculation, that prayer aided me in penetrating it and seeing its beauty, its harmony, its value, its importance. And it saved me not only from pride and arrogance and condescension, but it also gave penetration to see the creeping modernism that was starting to come into seminary life toward the end of my career. This one prayer. And it gives some reason why we are assured by the Blessed Mother herself that there is no problem, no difficulty, no suffering, no obstacle of any kind that the Rosary cannot handle and solve. And it is true. So many people have been brought to the true faith, have been rescued from creeping liberalism and modernism in the worst forms through the Holy Rosary. This is true, I assure you. It is a most powerful prayer. And after the Holy Mass and the Divine Office, this is the prayer that is a saving prayer, may we say, a sanctifying one. And why? Because It connects you to the altar. That's the reason. That's why I want you to know about this, because of my own experiences in life through the Holy Rosary. Every candidate that I have mentioned, that I have met over the years, that expresses interest in the priesthood, religious life, universally has told me they pray the Holy Rosary every day. And some of them, the 15 decades every day. And they're able to see through so many of the subtle deceptions of life. Now, I'm not about the business of giving you the origins and the development of the rosary and so on and so forth. That I cannot do, especially now since I know all of you have schedules and needs, and incidentally, so do I. But I wanted to assure you of this. It is not only a gift of the Virgin Mary, but even in our modern times, a command. At Lourdes, she wore the rosary on her arm. At Fatima, she commanded it. Say the rosary every day. Say it, she said. It will make a big difference. And it does. The rosary is not a shallow prayer. It's not even an easy one. But it is one that is a protection. It's your whole faith in the pocket. And more than that, it gives you supernatural vision. Can I put it that way? Yes. It gives you a supernatural view of the world around you. And makes you, enables you to identify the insidious deceptions of the world, the flesh, the devil. It does that without fail. Even if it is said imperfectly. No one prays the rosary without some prophet. No one. It's just not known. It is a remedy against errors of sensuality, of greed, and so on. It puts you in touch with the divine and gives you the ability to see through all the pitfalls of life. The rosary does that too. It also comforts and aids you in the living of your life. Do you know, I've told you many times, that the rosary is fundamentally a prayer to our blessed Lord. People make a mistake and think that the rosary is a prayer to the Virgin Mary. It's not. It's a prayer to Christ, the Son of God. But it is a prayer that invokes the assistance of the Holy Mother of God. Well, it honors her, therefore. That's why the garland she placed on her head. It honors her. It gives tribute to her. But it is also a plea that people who say it, who pray it, would invoke the assistance of the Virgin Mary. So I've told you, it's like putting your hand on the bosom of the mother's hand and asking her to lead you. It's like seeing with her eyes the mysteries of faith, loving with her heart. That's the rosary. I've never put it this way to you, but I'm going to now. Do you know what it's like? That's the reason why St. Dominic, who was given the Holy Rosary by the Blessed Virgin with the remark, "Someday I will save the world through the rosary." That's what she said. "Someday I will save the world through the rosary." St. Dominic used it as a preaching device. And so he would gather these people who have fallen away from the faith, Albigensians in those days, or the Cathari, they were called as well. They're called Albigensians because their town in France, they centered on, was Albi. And so he would be a street preacher. and he would speak about the mysteries of faith. And after this brief talk, see, and a series of them, all right, people, let us now ask, you see, our Lord for help. Let us invoke the Virgin Mary's assistance. So he would say 10 Hail Marys. And that's how the rosary was first used. I say that because that device, that method is still used. I've said to you that the rosary is best prayed in solitude, although it is highly adapted to communal prayer. But do you know what's going on when you pray the Holy Rosary? The Virgin Mary is preaching to you. That's what she's doing. She's informing you, informing your mind of the mysteries of faith as she knew them, as she experienced them, as she was part of them. That's what happens when you pray the Rosary. And so we have now, through the influence, by the way, of a famous Carthusian, whose name I will mention, I'll explain about him. We have these 15 decades, or the chaplet, as you put in your pocket, see, a tiny rosary, not the full one. And so it is divided into three sections, as you know, see. The joyful mysteries, the sorrowful mysteries, the glorious mysteries, all of which she was a part of. And in fact, she was instrumental in having them happen. Why? Because first of all, and this is a bit of a digression, but relevant. First of all, because her greatest and most sublime title is Mother of God. All the privileges that she was given in her life, and they are many, are all founded and based on that one gift that she did not merit, to be the Virgin Mother of God. And that implies, therefore, her unique relationship to you, her maternal care of you, all of us. She expressed it best, and it was increased in her most when our Lord died on the cross. So our Lord says to his mother, "Behold your son," that's you. And that explains the care that she has. With that in mind, she visits earth frequently, has a unique relationship to all, and now in the vision of God that she enjoys, body and soul in heaven, she has a knowledge of each of you, second only to God, higher than the angels, the Blessed Virgin, higher than the angels, whose nature is way above our own, the gifts that were given to her. People have gone to her always. One of the most insidious attacks that people and the Christian world have experienced is the view that the Virgin Mary is needless, that she is a distraction, that she takes away from God. It's the opposite. She leads us to our Lord. She aids us. And in the rosary, she teaches us. And you know what else? She gives us a supernatural vision of the meaning of the mysteries of faith. And so when you pray, you see, the joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary, do you know what is given to you? Not just the knowledge, maybe a little deeper, maybe a little wider, if you like, of these events in our Lord's life, from the Annunciation, when our Lord began to live in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and so on. But she gives you more than that. She gives you, the way they put it in theology, eternal life promised. And with that, she creates in you, you see, a desire for heaven, for all those things that God has promised, eternal life promised. And in the sorrowful mysteries, we are given you see, an appreciation and even an experience for those who pray it devoutly, who know how to pray the rosary, and many don't. So it is our goal to teach you how to pray the rosary with fruit. We get an appreciation, you see, of eternal life won and all that it cost our Lord. You are given an experience of his sufferings, his pains, his agony, that you may commiserate, that you may share in them. And isn't that really one of the great goals of offering the Holy Mass? And when the passion and death of the Savior is extended, renewed, relived, re-presented on the altar? And lastly, eternal life in the glorious mysteries, eternal life possessed. Not only in heaven, but for those who are our Lord's friends, the beginning of the joys of heaven are found in seed here, through the sacraments, through the Holy Eucharist, through our union with in the course of our daily lives. And we receive a foretaste of the joys of heaven that no one can take from us, that give us the courage, the strength, the will to persevere because of what is yet in store for us. That we are already beginning. It's the joy of the saints. That's all given in the Holy Rosary. And in these days when people are taken away, as they were in the dawn of the modern age, from the force, the impact, the influence of the Holy Faith in our lives because of secularism, of worldliness, of greed, of the need to work and work and work in order to sustain our lives and well-being. And so people are being pulled away from the thoughts, from the goal in mind, our salvation, heaven. What is it that is the chain, if you like, that pull that keeps us on the journey to heaven? It is the Holy Rosary. The Spanish, particularly the Mexicans, I've told you, have the custom of wearing the rosary around their neck. That is, the rosary, of course, is not something to be worn. And so, strictly speaking, it's not correct to do that. However, in their own way, they're telling a truth. I admire the Mexicans in the way they say, make the sign of the cross, you know. They have their own customs. They make the sign of the cross, placing their thumb and forefinger, you see, like this. And then they do this, see? And they kiss their fingers, you see. They're kissing the cross. They go to Guadalupe on the plaza there to the basilica on their knees. And they like to wear the Holy Rosary. It is exactly what it appears to be, the way they wear it, like a chain, like a bond, as it were, that's pulling them to heaven. And that's what the Rosary is. Eternal life promised, eternal life won, eternal life possessed. All of that is given to you in this beautiful prayer. And more than that, well, at least for now, it is the perfect disposition if you're having trouble to pray. If mental prayer is difficult for you, let me assure you that an easy way of achieving a lofty mental prayer is the Holy Rosary. Particularly in the consideration of the mysteries about which people, you see, do not pray well, do not understand, don't know how to rest in them. With it, and with it prayed correctly, and intelligently, if I mean by that, see, with the right understanding of the spirit of the Holy Rosary, you are disposed to receive many lofty impulses. We say them as theology, they're called operating graces, gratia operans it's called, which dispose you, which gives you the insight, well, to what we call infused contemplation, a supernatural prayer that we cannot perform of ourselves. It is a gift from heaven. It is the prayer of the saints. The rosary disposes you for that, in which you receive, you see, an impression, a sense of the divine presence within, in the context of the mysteries. Lofty, as if you begin to taste these mysteries. This is what the Virgin Mary does for you in this prayer we call the Holy Rosary, or the Garland of Roses. The Virgin Mary wears. Well, these are some of the thoughts that I want to share with you this morning. Ones that fill me with a great deal of gratitude, because this prayer, with the aid of the Virgin Mary, is one that saves from the worst of all sins. Not sensuality, but pride. Pride in its worst forms, intellectual pride, that treats people as if they're nothing but peons, looks down on the lowly, aspires to greatness that is vain in all its forms. The humble Virgin, Queen of all saints, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, to whom we ask that she be the instrument of, you see, of understanding and experience of the mysteries of faith. You see, as the prayer goes, that we imitate what they contain and obtain what they promise, through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's the Holy Rosary, at least a little bit of a summary. And I'm hoping that maybe today you might begin to pray the rosary in a different way, in a way of trust, a way of faith, a way of love. And that's what I wanted you to know on this feast today.